Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you. If you didn't get a chance to listen to our last episode from last week, we recorded it late, so it didn't post until Saturday. You might not have heard it. Some juicy content in there from yours truly. But today, you know, we preface that because today is not much to talk about because the episode sucked.
Totally sucked. Really?
Yeah, not a lot happened ultimately.
And Bennett is just not charismatic enough to carry a whole episode like he did.
There's a lot of stuff that, but there's not much good stuff. I mean, Craig, there was a lot of kissing in this episode. It wasn't exciting or anything, but what's it like to like kiss so many people in one night?
Why are you asking me?
Because I made a drop specially to have you tell us, like, is it gross? Well, I want to know, is it gross? Like, does it feel gross? Is it
like making out with someone in a bar?
No, a lot of she kissed three or four.
Yeah,
or is it all five?
I took note of that too. It's like she kissed every single guy.
Like wet kiss, French kiss.
Ugh. Well, I have no answer for that because it's not like I went around kissing 10 people in a night.
What's the closest amount of time you kissed two different people and it grossed you out?
I can answer that by saying what my roommate used to do because he could really pull some girls, you know. Yeah. He would take a girl home from the bar and then finish and go back out to the bar and pick up another girl.
No. Finish?
Wow.
What do you mean by finish?
Ooh.
I think I know what you mean by finish.
Have sexual relations.
What the hell? Went out to the bar to pick up another girl to drink?
Well, yeah, he'd go back out and then inevitably pick up another girl and then take her home.
Two girls and one...
Isn't that... amazing. He really had his mojo down, you know what I mean?
Was he like super hot?
He looked like Johnny Depp, so he was like every girl's bad boy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes more sense, honestly.
Yeah,
that's the only name you could have said that we would have been like, oh yeah. Okay,
because every girl's got to get a Johnny Depp out of their system, you know, at some point in their life.
Okay.
You're not disagreeing with me.
I mean, I got nothing to say. I don't know what, I don't like that framework. Like, oh, you know, I feel like it's the wrong.
But it's true.
It's not
though.
Exactly true.
It's true enough.
Yeah, there's an element of truthiness in that, like, you certainly, especially in your, like, early 20s, date a lot of people that you perhaps should not have.
Only fine sexually. Well, you know, who's speaking my language is Ed. Hang out on a Friday night and watch Dateline.
I was like, yeah, actually, that doesn't sound bad at all. Like, just wearing some face masks and watching Dateline is pretty good.
Oh, my God. When he said that, I was like, he bumped up 5 points. 5 points, Craig.
Whoa,
I was like,
so yeah. He went from 1 to 6? No, there's no way he could be above 5.
I can't even tell you how, like, cozy, comfy cozy that sounds. I don't even wear face masks or anything like that, but just sitting around and watching Dateline, it makes so, like, it's so comforting, right? Craig, you must watch murder stuff like that.
Yeah, murder porn, I think they call it.
I hate when they call it that, but no. But yes, but yes.
I only watch Dateline when it's, what's his name?
Keith Morrison.
Yeah, when it's the other hosts, I'm not so interested. But Keith Morrison makes it so good.
I like them all, although he does have his own style of telling a story, which I love. But I love the other guy. And I like when they get Lester Holt to introduce them, that, like, oh, it's just the best. Anyway.
Yeah, Lester Holt has, like, no role other than to come back from commercial.
Yeah, I love that though, because he contextualizes it sometimes when you just miss a little bit. He's like, and then.
Well, that's where Dateline gets tough, because they repeat themselves so much. It's like a soap opera where
sometimes
they spend 10 minutes recapping what the last 10 minutes was about, and then you get like 5 minutes of new content, and then they go to commercial.
Yeah, but then there's like this 5 minute like chunk right in the middle. It depends how long the episode is, that is totally like chock full of information that you needed to know all along. And right. You're like, wait a minute, stop. You just told me a bunch of stuff, and you kept repeating this part about it being a small town forever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here in a small town.
Yeah. Nothing bad ever happens. Anyways. No more Dateline. Let's move on.
Remember when Dateline used to be on all the time? You guys might be able to.
It's still on all the time.
Well, it's on,
I can
like,
always find a channel cable, with it on.
But it used to be on NBC. It's NBC, right? It used to be like back in the 90s. It was like on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was every night had a Dateline almost.
Thinking of like 2020 Dateline. Like they used to be kind of the same kind of show. There used to be the same kinds of shows on.
But they were huge for a while there. Like every night there was new content. And now you just, you know, you get reruns and stuff. And I think Saturday night they show new episodes. But back then it was like Inside Edition, Dateline, 2020. They all just fair. Every night you're inundated with that kind of stuff.
Well, I can't let this go without mentioning A Current Affair. It's kind of like hard copy or like inside edition.
Yeah.
I miss those shows. They brought A Current Affair back, remember, for like a little bit in like 2003. Dateline. It's still on. I mean, there's a huge hunger for it. It's just not like they're seriously running out of cases, because there's like average murder and then there's like exceptional murder. And then they don't solve, like 33% of murders are like only 33% of murders are solved. So like there's not cases, you know, that cops aren't that competent to solve a lot of murders.
Well, it's cool though. Now they're using like ancestry.com to solve murders. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was an episode last year or something where it was the first case mm-hmm. where they used
the Golden State, Golden State Killer case. Yeah, there's a lot of ethical things involved in that, right? That like they found, and now the police are doing this with other folks too, right? But like the reason why you can find these profile hits are because somebody else uploaded their DNA, somebody related to a potential killer, right? And yeah, it brings up this whole load of questions like, did you know that like your data might play part in solving a murder, and is that something you want or don't want? And it sounds terrible to be like, do you not want a killer to be caught? You know what I mean? But like, there's still.
Okay, how about this?
Craig, I get mad at you about this all the time, though. Never sell your information to a private company. People are always scared of the government. Private companies are way more notorious and nefarious.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not saying anything about
this. I've yelled at you for it before. I said, are you seriously selling your DNA to a private company? When you got something?
You yelled at me about this?
Ooh. Yes, I remember.
Craig, you've got it done. You did a DNA kit.
And he said, I have no secrets.
But I
said,
but
I don't
I
care about your secrets.
It's not just your secrets, Craig.
I did a DNA
It's your, all of your bloodline secrets.
But I didn't go the extra step where you have to, you pay for the kit, and then you do it, and you send it in, and then they send you the map of where you're from, like where your ancestors are from. But then you have to pay extra to then type in all your biographical information and see who you're related to. I didn't take that extra step.
No, but sometimes there's a box you don't click. Like you default opt in.
Yeah, but they don't know anything about me because I didn't fill out the biographical
information. If you put spit in a tube, that's it. You're done. Is that what you did?
Yes.
Okay, then you are on file, CODIS, all that stuff. And it's
great. I did not murder anyone.
Yeah, I mean, now you know they'll definitely get you is the thing. Here, but
I got a better question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so say you're married, or say you're in a long-term relationship, like you're practically married, okay? Mm-hmm. And your partner comes home and says, I'll explain later, you just have to trust me, but I killed somebody. Mm-hmm. Do you tell on that person or not?
When are they going to explain to you?
I don't know. They're like they're like, trust me, you just have to trust me. Cops are coming to our place right now. They're going to say, they're going to ask if I, where I was, just tell them I was at home. You have to lie on my behalf. Would you lie?
And they said they did it. They did the murder.
They did.
Oh, no, I wouldn't lie.
I unequivocally would lie. I don't care what they
I would lie. I would lie too.
I would lie if they told me they like viciously murdered someone. I don't care. I'm not gonna.
So Caitlin, you're the odd person out here.
Yeah, I just think, you know, there are some circumstances where I would be willing to lie, but I would need to know the details. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
There's no time though.
I can't just.
The cops are on their way.
You know what I mean? Like. I can't just be like, oh, so you murdered someone and I'm not allowed to know, like, was it self-defense or something? You should just say that. Like, I need to know that.
So, let me change the question here. So, Caitlin, so you have all the time in the world, you know, it's a cold case, and so you're not having to lie on the spot. But, so you're saying that you, if he explained everything to you and it was a self-defense or some, you know, strange happenstance, you would just stay quiet. But if it was a gruesome murder, you would go to the cops and rat him out?
I will say, in romantic relationships, right, my love is conditional. It's unconditional in, like, friendships and blood relations. Actually, no, you know, it's conditional in some of my blood relations. It's unconditional for my cat. I'll say that. She could she could murder someone. I'd lie for her.
So many birds.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'd lie for Trudy any day. But right. In a romantic relationship, like, yeah, I feel like there's some things you can do that, yeah, you, I wouldn't love you anymore and I wouldn't lie for you. You know what I mean?
Okay, I guess let me preface this by saying, if it's the father of my kids, if it's just a romantic relationship, but you said almost married or married.
Yeah, yeah. That like would this is your person. Married, kids, whatever. Not married, kids, whatever. But yeah, this is the person you're going to be with.
I can't believe you said your person. I'm done talking to you.
Well, I didn't want to say your man because that's gender specific. Oh,
I hate that, your person.
I think I found my person.
We have a drop for that.
But I know he's my person.
She's my person.
Oh, it went long. Like, yeah, we said it because drop. We're making fun of them. We're making fun of that. I think it's annoying. Okay. Wealth management consultant. Now.
That's Bennett. Yeah.
Caitlin, I know you hate him.
Ooh, my wheelhouse right here. I'm like, I knew he was bad from day one. I was right. They were showing us how he can be funny, and he can be funny, right? He's still a fucking asshole. He's still an entitled piece of shit asshole who's just sometimes funny.
Okay, look. I'm somewhere there with you. I'm sure in real life I wouldn't like him, but on TV, you're gonna hate me for this, but I like the way they argued. I think the way they argued was like super constructive and interesting. And the first time I heard it, I was kind of like, man, he's trying to say something super rational, and Tayshia is kind of going like, no, I'm a strong ass woman. But the second time I heard it, I heard a lot of actual conclusions and understanding. And that's rare. That's rare in real life, and that's rare on TV. So let me just play you kind of what I'm referring to.
I'm not questioning your integrity.
My question is, have you ever?
No. By how? Like, I don't know how I would have done that. By saying that there's a 0% chance that you're going to end up with him, I'll tell you where that's coming from, and I don't think that you'll feel that I'm questioning your integrity.
To be quite honest with you, everyone is here, and it doesn't matter why they're here to you. You don't have the right to tell somebody else that I will not end up with them.
No.
Okay, I accept that.
Like, it felt building, and I like that he was, I mean, like, I can see both sides of it. He was basically saying, I mean, if we're going to take this as a real thing that happened in the show, which it might not be, he was kind of saying, you have no chance to him. And she was maybe asked to take it as, you know, that guy is saying that you're not making good choices. But I liked where they got in the argument. Like it seemed so rational. And I might be the odd one out here, but like I like when two people can talk and have a major disagreement and even feel insulted and not raise their voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a point. I think, so for me, what I think this whole thing with, you know, Tayshia saying, is he questioning her like integrity or whatever? I feel like that's, the phrase is completely wrong. I feel like what they're actually talking about is whether he's questioning her judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a different thing. Because integrity is sort of like, is she lying about stuff? Like, do you think she's a straight up person? Mm-hmm. And judgment is more like he's saying, there's no way she ends up with Noah, and she reads it as, you're questioning my judgment of thinking that maybe I could end up with Noah, and that's why I gave him the rose, right?
Right.
So and, I think they're not hitting on that difference exactly. Like, they're sort of getting to it, but either they didn't make the differentiation in the vocabulary. I feel like she keeps on hitting on this phrase, and it's like, that's not really what he's doing.
Right. Well, Bennett is saying, you don't see all of Noah, and that's why you can't make a good call. And integrity is a word that they use a lot on reality TV as opposed to judgment. Because means something told. Judgment is like a negative word for people right now.
Like you're judging me. Yeah.
Right. But it's not used, but it's used correctly. Like you're using it correctly. And it's, you know, it's not a distinction without a, it's definitely, there's a difference there. But to them, it's one and the same. So it's a little bit like, you know, I can see what they're trying to say, and I really like that they're both calm and like, and they keep speaking. Like they didn't seem rushed through an argument. I know it's it's kind of like, does it mean anything? I don't know, but I liked it.
So I would argue that it means nothing based on what we see at the end of the episode from him, but we'll get there later, I'm assuming, because I read his sort of calm, rational way of speaking as it's very serial killer-esque, very, very like murder vibes. I get straight up murder vibes from Bennett when he's saying with zero emotion in his voice, like, I'm in love with you. Yeah. I don't believe this thing, right? Like, it's very, very, very weird. I don't like it at all. But here, with both of them, they have points about each other, right? Yeah. Like, Bennett is right that Noah is not ready for marriage, right? Maybe he's saying he is, and maybe he truly thinks he is or whatever, but he's 25 and he's totally not. He's right about that. Mm-hmm. But Noah is right that Bennett is condescending, that the way he treats other people is something that you wouldn't want. As like, you know, what he basically says to Tayshia is like, the way that Bennett talks to people and makes me feel is something he will do to you if you date him, right? Mm-hmm. And he's 100% right about that. Like,
but I totally think Noah like found a little hook, like a little, you know, tear in the fabric and exploited it, because Bennett is, sure, he's condescending, but that's just the way he talks. Like, if he talks that way to people that he respects, would you still think it's condescending? That's just the way he speaks.
I'm not sure that Bennett respects anyone other than himself.
Yeah, that's a hard...
Like, that's my feeling on him, right, is very much, he thinks he's the smartest person in the room at all times, right? That's the vibe he's given.
Yeah.
Even though he says, for me, IQ is less important than EQ, right? He has no EQ also. He really does not understand, like, emotional intelligence, right? When which I also love that Noah called him out on this thing where, like, he's telling Noah all these ways that Noah doesn't have the four components of emotional intelligence. And Noah's like, if one of those is being self-aware, like, you don't have that one either.
It's
like,
yeah, see,
no, he absolutely doesn't.
That's totally true, but the way Noah grabs like a thread and like pulls it feels exaggerated to me too, if we're to believe this is a real argument. Like, I feel like Noah, this is why I say, like, yes, Noah's like definitely good looking and all this stuff, but he's scarier to me. Like, I think Bennett is just shiny. Like, he's just like literally shiny. Like, he has that serial killer like look to him, right? Like, he looks like Patrick Bateman, looks like he moisturizes thing. But Noah does these little flips of the switch that to me are like the kinds of things that will gaslight you. Because,
I absolutely see Bennett as gaslighting here too, right? Especially all the times that he says, like, as she's booting Bennett out, right? And she's walking him to the door, and he repeatedly keeps on bringing up, he can't believe what's happening. He's never questioned her. And I was like, you're questioning her right now, though, dog. You know what I mean? Like, you're questioning her decision to send you home right now, and you don't see it as that because in your head, you know, like, what you say is right. So it's not questioning her.
Yeah, like, well, remember Easy last week when he left?
Easy!
He was kind of shell-shocked, but he smartly, very, very astutely kept his mouth shut because you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth when you get rejected. And I think Bennett, this is another, like, behind-the-scenes thing. I feel like the producers told him do this, and he didn't expect to get cut based on what he did with the box and all that stuff. Okay, but Noah, see, here's the thing. If Noah had been on Hannah B's season, I feel like they would have luked him. They are ganging up on him. They don't like him. But because, you know, the situations of the season are so weird, he was also one of the new guys. And it's not necessarily a group of bullying men, the way it was with Hannah B's season, that he can kind of slide by. And I don't know if you remember a few episodes back, he kind of had a little to camera thing that was like, man, I thought I was going to come in here and totally be, I'm paraphrasing or I'm like extracting what I want to extract here. But he said something like, I came in here and I thought I had this mental fortitude to like whatever gets thrown at me. I'm only here for Tayshia, but I'm crumbling. And so I feel like he had this idea and then he came in and the guys are like, peer pressuring is the wrong word, but they're kind of telling him you're not acting correctly right now. And he is taking the guy's signs in and going like, you know, I want to be myself, but obviously I can't be, or I wanted to do this and obviously I can't. And I think that makes him a little like dangerous, but I get your feeling about Bennett because you have experience with men like this. Right?
Yeah, this is like, so I found out, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but Bennett is originally from Atlanta, Georgia, and then went to Harvard, right? It makes so much sense to me because the way he dresses is, that's Southern prep guy right there. That's some Charleston stuff. That's some North Carolina stuff. And I lived in those places. I've met guys exactly like that.
I watched
and Southern Charm. And you add the Ivy League education to that, right? It gives you this whole other layer too. But it very much makes sense. Like, Craig, right, now that you know that he's from Atlanta and you've watched Southern Charm, you could see him fitting in on Southern Charm, right?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
He's one of those types of guys, too. I think he makes for great TV, but I think he is not a person you should ever date.
Right. And he doesn't open his lips. That bugs me as well.
He feels like he's holding something, and like he's like, ooh, like that's, you know, he's a, man, I really can't.
If this were Seinfeld, he'd be, what would he be if he were Seinfeld?
What does that mean?
Well, Seinfeld always named people, like the close talker, or the near talker.
He doesn't swing his arms.
Like, the fact that he doesn't open his lips when he talks is really
concerning. He has an affect that's, to me, I just don't want to be rude to him, but, like, there's, like, a trope of, like, this, like, inbred Anglo-Saxon thing. And I... It's there. It's right there. I don't know. He's too three-dimensional to me to like really make fun of him. Caitlin, you take it. You
make fun of him. I can't believe we're spending this much time talking about him.
And we're going to spend more time later talking about him too.
I mean, considering how little there was in this episode, you guys are pulling out a ton.
So Bennett, for me, right, he's a guy who his style and his affect is that he wishes he was a Kennedy, right? Like, that's his vibe. But he's not. But that he is also very, like, I think he is a very manipulative person in the way that, like, his calm discussion voice is not because he's actually, like, a calm, reasonable person, right? You know, like, the end of last episode, he spent all this time denying that there was any tension with Noah, that he felt like there was any problem. And it's like, we see you insult Noah all the time. So how did you not think that that might result in tension? The only way I can read it is that he is trying to be like, oh no, not my problem at all. I definitely didn't start or continue any of this because I didn't even know that, like, he disliked me. I obviously hate him, but how was I to know?
I think all the men treat Noah badly, though. And we're only seeing that.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely do. I think it's just the vibe between the two of them is probably worse than him and the other guys, simply because Bennett speaks up more often and because he is such a distillation of exactly the kind of person who Noah would also hate, right? That, like, because he represents this kind of, like, preppy, Kennedy-esque, bastion of privilege kind of guy who, and you saw some of the stuff with, like, in Noah's mind, Bennett looks down on him because he sees Noah as like a hayseed from Oklahoma who's not in his class, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's part of this too, is that, like, Noah's very much reading it as like, Bennett thinks he's better than you are, not just because he feels like intrinsically, like, he's personally a better fit for Tayshia or something like that. He thinks he's better than you are because of who he is, a guy who went to Harvard, who is an upper crusty white dude who dresses like he's on Southern Charm. That is exactly the vibe all of those types of guys give, is that they think they're better than you. Because
now, what do you make of the fact that when they were modeling the clay or drawing and stuff, he said that he's as far from privileged as you can get? I think those were his exact words.
Yeah, I think he's an idiot. I think he's one of those guys who's doing that thing that's like, oh, I'm not privileged, and not realizing that, like, even if his family wasn't super wealthy, and I'm going to guess that at the very least they were middle class, if not like upper middle class, or the kind of upper middle class with quotes around it where it's like, you're rich, but you don't think you're rich, you know? I think he's one of those kinds of people who just thinks like, well, I'm not privileged. What do you mean? I'm just a white man who went to Harvard and had everything handed to him. I don't know what you mean by privilege. I work hard. I'm a wealth management consultant.
Hmm.
I think he's reading his own past in a way that, like, is very different from other people.
Revisionist personal history.
Yes. Except in the actual negative way, as opposed to the faux negative way that, like, conservatives use revisionist history when it's like, all history is revisionist, there's no such thing as the truth, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
That reminds me. I don't know. Like, I just don't know. But I to me, the Noah type is, like, I can't speak on Bennett, but I can speak on Noah's. And to me, Noah is getting more and more, like, sneaky with things. But this reminds me of, Craig, Aunt Becky's kid being on that red table talk.
Jade. What's her last name?
I'm forgetting the last name because
it's Minamamo.
Yeah, it's like her Massimo's name. Last name is. Whatever that one is, it's hers. But, you know, Massimo from Target Designs. Massimo.
Yeah, from Target. From the 90s clothes time.
Wait, like, so enlighten us here. What happened on the red table talk?
I just saw the clips, but it was basically her saying, I have so much privilege. But, like, she's saying it because those are buzzwords that she should hit on, but she has no idea what she means when she says it. Mm. So whether you, like, you know, Bennett saying it and saying he isn't privileged, I don't know what his story is. Like, it's hard for me to say, like, he must be. But her saying it, and it's an empty gesture because it's a PR tour, bothered me a lot. So it doesn't matter, like, whether you acknowledge it or don't. If you don't know what it means and you don't acknowledge it in the right way, then you're still wrong. I guess she went on the red table talk, like I said, and said, like, obviously I have so much privilege if I just went to college. But, like, all along the way, if people are taking pictures of you for no reason on like a rowing thing, and you got into USC and you have no idea why, like every, come on. You know. You don't go to class, but then sophomore year comes up like inexplicably and you didn't, you know, what's going on? Like you don't ask questions and you do. And then I love the way they're trying to I see it all the time now. They try to distance themselves from their parents as if like that was their decision. Don't lump me in with their decision. You, yes, you're lumped in with their decisions. It's like the new way of operating is that you don't, you know, oh, everyone's a distinct person. And if there's a, it doesn't ring true to me. And it feels like she's trying to sidestep her way out while still acting responsible. It's just, and it's the new way of like doing a full blitz PR campaign. It just really bothered me. Mm-hmm. More than the Bennett thing.
So how does one of us get on Red Table Talk?
Who cares? I hate that. That's Facebook.
It's
Facebook PR campaign. I think it's a Facebook.
It's a Facebook show. Yeah, it's on there. Huh. Like it's a proprietary Facebook property, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. So it's all
Craig, to get on it, you have to be famous is the thing.
All right. I'll work on that. That's what the point of this podcast was all about, was to get famous.
Not for you. Well, what about, okay, so we kind of touched on this before and I didn't care before, but I just want to say that it bothers me that Chris Harrison is dropping his kid off at college. So, and he's already made little COVID comments. Like, I don't think he's a COVID denier, but he's a COVID whatever. Like, you know.
It seems
that way. Yeah. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of his ass.
Dropping his kid off at college in the middle of a pandemic. And his kid is going to, I believe, Texas Christian University, which I thought was a fake school that Friday Night Lights made up, but it's a real school.
No, it's TCU. They're part of the Big 12 Conference. It's a major school.
I was like, oh, this is a fictionalized version of SMU, like the Southern Methodist University.
Yeah, they're the horned toads or something. That's their.
Yeah, well, he's going to be picking his son up from college because there's going to be a super spreader. And then he's going to be dropping his son off at college again. And then he's going to be picking him up again for the next 3 years with that kind of attitude. I'm sick of this shit. I'm so sick of it. And I'm sick of him like being this righteous moral character when he's obviously an idiot. I can't stand it.
And wow.
I can't shut up.
Going after Chris Harrison.
Yeah, that's right. Chris Harrison, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with him? What's wrong with everybody? Dropping your kid. It's the 1 year. You just keep them at home for. Don't you want them at home for an extra year? You fucking, overbearing parents. Anyway, it's pissing me off with the fact that everyone's like, and now JoJo's here. And you're like, I would ask that question if I was in that house.
Right.
And have it be on camera and then have them make me look bad and have them kick me off. I'd be mad.
Well, if you hosted the show for 20 years, I think you get some leeway.
No, you don't. No, no one gets any leeway right now. We're all pissed. We don't get to do anything we want to. Everything's different. Don't act like life is normal. Like, it's not normal. Deal with it. We can deal with it for a few years in our lives. It just bothers me. That this whole, thing. Anyways, we can move on.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
What's next?
Oof.
Should we just go to the fashion roundup right now?
And what about Ben?
Yeah, we got to talk about
the lie
Ben.
Detector.
The lie detector.
Sorry,
I got a lot of thoughts and feelings on those dates, too. Well, some men went home, but we don't need to spend really time on that. I guess it's notable that Spencer, first impression Rose Spencer, got sent home. I also laughed pretty hard that Ed was one of those guys who gave, a to-camera thing that was like, if I don't get a rose, it's just going to be Noah's fault because he took up so much time again. It was See? Like, no, Ed, it's because you're Ed that you didn't get a rose. It's not, it has nothing to do with Noah and his time. It's you and who you are and the fact that she's 0% attracted to you.
Right. That means there's a whole storyline brewing there that maybe they touched on, but that everyone hates Noah for some reason. So Bennett's not 100% wrong. That's another thing.
Wait, did Ed get cut?
Ed got cut.
No.
Did he?
No, he got cut.
No, he didn't.
No, he did.
He did?
He did. He went home in that rose ceremony at the beginning. He was just also in the credit scene being a funny, but he is a... He went home. Him, Spencer, and Damar are the ones that left. And I find it inexplicable that she kept Blake at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Blake. Blake is...
Bad beard Blake.
Exactly. Bad beard Blake. This guy, like... And he's getting the one-on-one, so you know he's going home at the end of that one, because she doesn't like him. There's no way she can... Now I'm Bennett, but I'm like, 0% chance she likes that guy. But like, if she likes that guy, I'll like eat my hat or whatever. Like, she can't like Blake.
No, she doesn't like him. Well, the back to my OC talk, you know, Orange County, it's so funny to me that Spencer, I feel like, wasn't interested in her. And that's the same thing that happened with Jason. And it's so weird to me because I think there's something we need to just touch on. I don't think we need to discuss it because it's still like brewing. Why? But there's this. It's not my family. This is not something that's happened to me. But a lot of families of women who are people of color have this like huge market value for white guys and like super average, nothing white guys. And they won't be interested in someone like that for really weird reasons. Now, Craig, I'm not asking you to like divulge anything, but I've overheard some of the weird reasons. For example, their hands aren't womanly or like wrinkly or like.
You're talking about why white men don't like non-white women?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even begin to touch on that.
Cause... Wait, what's the wrinkly hand thing? Their hands aren't wrinkly?
So, like, no. Like, I've overheard this, and I've overheard it more than once. I'm not kidding you. That, like, the non-white women don't have the most, like, feminine, crease-free hands. Or that their hands are dry. Or
I
don't know.
I think you're on your own on this one.
What? I'm telling you things I have heard in Orange County, white men criticizing women of color, whether that's South Asian or whether it's Hispanic or Black. And it's little things.
I mean, I don't doubt that. I mean, I don't doubt those. I guess they'd be macro aggressions against non-white people. I don't doubt that happens. It's just I've never been a part of that.
Well, I'm talking about something super specific, but I'm also speaking about before it was. You know, now it's kind of big, but like body types, big butts instead of like, you know, just little things, like even things like big breasts being like, I can't even tell you the things I've overheard. Nipple size. I'm not kidding.
What the fuck are people? So I'm sure you're not kidding. I'm just saying that these are the most bonkers things to be like.
This is men, Caitlin.
Look like, yeah, men are fucking wild. I mean, you can't predict anything, especially white straight men. That's the worst type of man.
Hey. But their market, their what I'm saying is that they're the amount, like the women of color who are kind of told to like land a white man, is like that's. Where I feel in my heart for Tayshia, like, because I feel like she's still under this. I don't know if her parents have told her that, but I know society has told her that. And so like Spencer not being interested in her, Jason not being interested in her, kind of like hurts my heart a little bit, because I think that there's something deep racial there. And this leads to a lot of like super average white guys getting with these, like, I'm not saying they're beautiful, but I'm saying they're accomplished. And it doesn't, like, beauty doesn't really matter at this stage. It doesn't matter what, you know, beauty is too narrow of a category. It's just, like, I just see these, like, they don't have to be incredible though. That's what bothers me, is that like people of color have to, like we talked about this, like have to like lasso the moon to show that they're so awesome. And like some people can just be average, but there's these like below average white men with these like more above average people of color. And it's because of like the relative value. Does it make sense?
Do you think that this might help explain why Tayshia is so into Zach? Because that's an average white man who's super into her.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, it more explains, I don't think she's into Zach, but like I said, but yes, in theory, yes. Like, but that's why it explains to me why she gave Spencer the first rose, the first impression rose. But like Craig, locker room talk. Are you seriously have never heard stuff like this? What I'm talking about?
I guess I just don't hang out with the right white guys.
You've never heard like manly hands. No. Like, you know,
like I said, I don't doubt it, but
darker areas, like on elbows, like weird shit, weird ass shit. But I'm sure if people look and think back into their hearts, people that are listening are going to remember at some point people saying stuff like this.
Yeah.
This is not rare.
Like I said, I don't doubt that it happens, but I've never hung out with the type of, like, to me, that also sounds like the Seinfeld thing. Like you're trying to find fault in a woman, like, which is the whole premise of Seinfeld.
But it's not that. I'm talking about something else. Like, this is a little bit, this is not just like quirks of an individual. This
like,
is
I wouldn't hang
straightforward
out with
about
like,
a race.
Oh, black women have XYZ, and so I don't date them. I mean, that's just, that's never come up.
It's very, I guess I've also heard it the other way, where like people talk about these features that are clearly only in white women. And so it feels like it's, they're not, you know, that's a very attractive feature. And you know that only a certain group of people have it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Yeah. That's what I see with the Spencers and Jason. But, you know, because
sure.
We never
heard
from Spencer again.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I see your
like,
point.
I'm not blaming him, but yeah. Because like, I don't know what happened there. But it seemed like he wasn't interested in her anymore. Okay.
I see this in terms of stuff like, you know, you're talking about like body types that used to not be considered commonly attractive, right? That like having a big butt used to not be a thing that was like, oh, that's a beauty standard that's seen as good, right? And you think of like, yeah. You think of people like the Kardashians, right? Who have big butts and big boobs. And they're white, but they fake tan the hell out of themselves, so they do not look super white, right? And I feel like that's playing into exactly this sort of thing.
But they're Armenian.
They're Armenian, which is like they have something going on. Well, not all of them, because the Jenner younger ones, I think, are just two straight up white girls. Right. But yeah, this concept that like they have similar features, right? But because they're not black women, they're getting higher status, if that makes sense. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
That white guys can be into that, like the Kardashian Jenner look, and say like that's sexy and that's desirable. But 10 years ago, they wouldn't have been saying that about a black woman, you know?
Right, right. They're at this point, the Kardashians are like parodying themselves. I totally like they're cartoonish versions of themselves. But when they started off, it was kind of a big deal that the beauty standard had opened up enough to care about that. So I don't think like, okay, so if you guys remember, the reason Kim Kardashian is famous is because she was, well, her dad was an OJ lawyer, but she was Paris Hilton's like personal organizer or something like that. Craig, do you remember?
No, I never got into that show.
Okay, well, it's not a show. I'm saying that, I mean, oh, it is a show, right. But like, she got famous because she
it's
had
not a show, it's a lifestyle investment.
Right.
Well, yeah, no, I'm saying
I don't watch the show, but I know like all these weird things about them just because pop culture.
Right. I actually never seen like a full episode. I've seen clips here and there, but that's how she was famous, because she was Paris Hilton's friend. And then Paris Hilton made fun of her butt, said like, oh, it looks like there's cottage cheese in a garbage bag. I remember that quote so well. But then when it became a standard of beauty, it kind of changed things, because that skinny Paris Hilton look was in at the time that Lindsay Lohan was starving herself, all this stuff. But then when Kim Kardashian became big, sure, like we can, you know, dissect them all we want now. But at the time, it was kind of a big deal for like a few women of color who were like, wow, like a beauty standard that we've always an attribute that has always been present in a lot of women of color, that is now kind of reaching the mainstream as a beauty standard is an interesting, you know, like what's happening to our culture, what's happening to our society. And yeah, like I said, we can criticize them all we want, but like there's something there, right?
It reminds me of have you guys heard of Curvy Wife Guy?
No.
Curvy Wife Guy.
I'm very online, and that's probably why. This is like maybe 2-3 years old at this point, but it became like an online joke. But basically, it was this like average white dude who wrote some caption for his plus size model wife, basically is what it bore down to. And he would take pictures of her for Instagram. And he posted some caption that was basically like, a lot of people made fun of me for being into this body type when I was younger. And like, you know, people think it's like, I'm weird for liking curvy women, but like, I love my curvy wife. And he was made fun of extremely online for basically being like, you know, he was making his wife's body like an attribute of his personality, right? That like, he's a good person because he likes curvy women. But I feel like it's kind of what you're saying too, Izier, with like the Kardashian changing what we perceive as attractive attributes, that like 10 years ago, some guy saying that he liked his wife because she was like plus size and curvy would have been seen as like, whoa, what a great man accepting this thing. But now the moment has changed to be like, well, now we make fun of him for being like, yeah, you can be into whatever you're into. Why are you making it weird that you're attracted to your curvy wife? Like, why is your whole personality, I'm curvy wife guy who loves curvy women, you know?
Well, yeah, and we should also always like state that no matter what kind of woman you like or what kind of features you like, you can still be a motherfucking racist. I know plenty of racists who have Asian wives and black wives and whatever. Like, the men are just like, you know, the fact that people rape their slaves does not mean any, like, you know, that doesn't mean anything. You know, that's not like, oh, well, you know, he did have sex with a person. No, that doesn't mean, like, I hate that. Like, I can't be a racist. I have a insert color here friend or whatever. You know, that's not the, or wife, partner, kid, mom, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care how big you make that. Like, yes, but also, you know, just because you like it now does not make you different than you would have been 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's also key to point out that, like, white women have this problem too, right? That, like, dating a man of color does not mean that you're not a racist.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are some white women who will be like, but my husband's black, so you know I'm not a racist. And it was like, no, you don't know that, because just because you're having sex with somebody and you find them physically attractive does not mean that you don't have racist thoughts.
Yeah. In fact, you probably get those, like, to you, like, solidified, because you're like, ah, I knew it. You always have, like, the I knew it, you know, like, I get in these conversations all the time
all right.
About these people. Anyway, okay, we can move on. I just thought it was interesting that Spencer, like, made no effort after the first night, and maybe I'm attaching traumas, but I see that.
Well, some of it too, I think, and this is part of the reason maybe that I didn't fully remember Ed getting cut, is they used to make a bigger deal out of people getting cut, right? There used to be longer exit interviews. Yeah. Now, I mean, Ed, I think, deserved a send-off.
Mm.
And, you know, we didn't get anything from anyone, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. it that happens now later on more. From this point forward, we will get exit interviews from probably all the men.
I'm going to clip that out and make a drop out of it. That can't happens do it later on more.
Yeah.
It's like your Yoda or something.
It still makes sense to me. Like, from this point on, you will see exit interviews because there's less men.
Sure.
They can't do it for three men at a time. They can do it for one.
I think they're also shot. Like, you know, trying to keep it moving, right? Especially since presumably people were not super invested in a lot of the men who are going home at this point, right? That like you're just like, keep it moving, no real relationship with Tayshia. Let's move it on.
I was invested in Ed. I mean, he's a loser, but I was still invested in him.
Right, but because we're at week 8 with Ed and Tayshia, like everything's all screwed up, you know? Like we've known these men for so long.
That reminds me. This is our 98th podcast episode.
Oh.
That means in this season, we're going to do our 100th episode in a couple weeks. You should super cut all of our drops together, EZR.
But Craig, you're the consistent. Me? I got enough work.
Take every drop and put it on a timeline. And then just play all of them in a row.
Oh, I can totally do that, yeah. But, Craig, you're the consistent. You're the only person that's been on all the shows.
It's true. I'm the only one that's been on every episode.
Mm-hmm. You're the... I feel like there's... Oh,
I'm Joey. The thread that binds.
Yeah. Joey on Dawson's Creek was, I think, the only character that was on every episode, not Dawson, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some weird stuff.
Well, anyway. You're right. When he went off to... When he went off to L.A.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's
which I
line.
Think corresponded to him doing Varsity Blues, didn't it?
Yeah, but yes, WB really bothers me because at the end, or I guess the CW now, when you know the shows, whenever they bring in British characters, that show is jump the shark. British characters on WB, it drives me insane because once I hear a British accent, I'm like, oh, I'm done, so out.
See, like, I'm an old school UPN loyalist.
Girlfriends?
No. Well, I don't remember what was on UPN.
Didn't America's Next Top Model started on UPN?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and then switched to like CW, and then you know.
Well, UPN and WB joined.
Yeah. Because CW stands for CBS and Warner Brothers, and CBS owns Paramount, which is UPN. See. Mm-hmm. How much deep knowledge I have.
What were you going to say about, like, you were going to mention some show that had a British actor or something?
No, you brought up the British actor.
Oh, you said, I'm a UPN loyalist.
And oh, that was the network I watched back in the day. I didn't even watch the WB shows.
It was aimed at me and Caitlin's demographic. It was a show, like, you know, here's a, you know, young women's show. Anyway.
You know what I love about Dawson's Creek? It, of course, has that iconic theme song, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait. But in reruns,
Peter,
it's a different song.
Yes, like Married with Children.
Yeah, Married with Children. Occasionally, you'll catch the fake version of Love and Marriage. Yeah, but with the Dawson's Creek, it's not hard to find the alternative version.
Yeah, it's on that on the DVDs too. By the way, not that
I can sing it if you give me a second here.
I know.
Turning around.
I can start or something. Yeah. It bothers me.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
She cracked her voice at the end of every line.
Yeah. Okay.
This all started talking about the freaking lie detector.
Oh, well, can I just say one thing about Ben? We don't have to go into crazy Ben stuff if we don't want to, but...
Oh, I want to talk a little bit about Ben.
Right.
We don't spend a lot of time on Ben.
I mean, we don't have to, but we can. Caitlin, you want to? Sounds good. But I just have to say, I hate the way he plays games. He, like, is the kind of guy... Just what he was doing, right? He ripped open the pinata. He dumped the pool thing. He's the kind of guy who would, like, move the claw machine so that you can catch the thing. That really bothers me. Something about that bothers me. Like, he cheats. But, like, in the worst way. Craig, you're a dad. Do you get what I'm saying?
No.
You like cheating. I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, if given the opportunity to cheat, I cheat.
Is that cheating, though, that he, like, they were supposed to look through the tennis balls and he just dumped the kiddie pool? And instead of, like, breaking the pinata with the stick, he, like, just ripped open the pinatas? It's not only cheating, but it's, like, showboating.
Maybe a little.
Caitlin, help me out here.
I felt bad for the producer who has to pick up all the balls.
Yeah,
Too. I mean, they're going to have to do that anyway, I think, though, right. The way they're going to be throwing them out of the side as they, like, dig around, too. I think it didn't bother me at all in this context, although normally I'm a hardcore, like, cheating on anything is morally wrong kind of person.
Yeah, but that was an early
in the Bachelorette games, right? I'm like, I don't care in this context. This is the least important. You know what I mean? I'm like,
sure. It's symbolic to me. It looks like he cheated at Monopoly or Candyland or something.
See, that I would not allow. That's a deal breaker for me. But, like, ripping a pinata up with your hands is not. I think it's just, you know, they've been hitting all the pinatas. And you know the way that they did it, right, is, like, you know production was, like, hit this one last.
Right.
But I was still like, yeah, they hit them all. So, like, I don't even care at this point. They're just like, yeah, just rip it. Who gives a shit? You know, we just had to hit 10 pinatas for footage that lasts 10 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, you guys can talk about Ben. Let me know if you want my thoughts, because I am not going to say something anyone wants to hear.
I mean, I'm not gung-ho about getting into suicide prevention, if that's what you mean.
No, I don't think we need to get into that at all. Like, the thing I wanted to talk about is that throughout their date, both the daytime E stuff and then the evening portion, they keep on showing the to-camera interviews with Tayshia, where she's like, I really need to Ben to open up because he's hiding things, not showing his true self. And I was like, are we watching the same show? Because, like, last week he told you about his eating disorder, which sure seems like opening up to me.
Yeah, so it's a bargaining, like, sob story for a rose.
Yes, and what I feel like was happening here is I saw, like, a very heavy production hand of Tayshia being told, he's got secrets you should try to get out of him, for, like, you know, he needs to tell you about his full stuff. There's more stuff in there. Maybe you thought the eating disorder was the end of it, but we know, because we've done interviews with all these people, that there is a lot more sob story in there, and you need to get it. You need to tell him that if he doesn't open up to you, he's basically going home, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they were doing, is that, like, it's being played as if he doesn't come up with more trauma to share with Tayshia, even though he's already shared trauma with her, that he can't stay, right? He's not being open enough. And that's what made me feel super weird about it, is I'm like, this is, you know, like, this is the kind of convo you do not have in the very beginning part of your relationship with anyone. You know what I mean? Like, this is not normal, like, first date-ish talk, which it is, like, their first real one-on-one date, but they have spent time alone together before, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what I mean? It's like, you don't... You know, like, this is very much one of those traditional, like, things that The Bachelor does that I find uncomfortable, where they force you to tell a sob story in order to get the rose and stay on the show. And it just made me feel a little bad for him that, like, he's got to regurgitate this stuff just because that's what you need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And I also enjoyed, I had a note about this thing, enjoyed is a weird way to say it, but he's laughing as he talks about the darkness and the suicide attempts, right? Mm. And it reminded me so much of something my therapist says to me, which is, you always make jokes and laugh when you're sad or you're saying something sad. And I was just like, I sure do. And you know what? I think that's absolutely a normal way to be. And that is what Ben is doing too, that he's talking about something serious and, like, uncomfortable, right? So you do it in sort of this, like, you're laughing about it also kind of way. And I just found that very, very relatable and very human. But I just felt bad and weird that they even, like, made him do it, you know?
Well, if we were to take Kaylin from Colton season as kind of a guide, and it's happened a few times. I can't think of another time it's actually happened, but I know that there was at least one other story that was very similar to Ben's. They use it as they say, it's your story to tell, like, when you want to tell it, and we will give you all this airtime, and then we'll, you know, it'll be a PSA. It's very hard for me to, like, I know that the production, when he starts telling the story, are going to be 100% behind him. So in terms of, like, giving him space and time, so maybe last week he was going to do it, and then he didn't. You know, like, he's kind of on his terms. But in terms of, like, just the context of when he tells the story, that's how I feel the production lets you do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess there is also, like, they tell you it's going to be a moment where you basically get to normalize something and make it okay for other mm-hmm. people because you're saying it on TV, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, that is a nice, and I'm sure that's a very powerful feeling if you're somebody like Ben, right? That, like, you're getting to be like, listen, like, this was a shitty time for me, but, like, I'm told if I talk about it on TV that we're going to get this airtime that makes, like, mental illness a very serious thing to be talking about. And so that's good, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just hate that that's the trade-off anyway, right? Like, this is a conversation he should be able to have with Tayshia, not on TV, but because it's The Bachelor, of course, it has to be on TV.
Mm-hmm. Craig, any thoughts on... I don't know. I have my thing, and I don't have to say it, because I'm going to be very pedantic and, like, devoid of feeling.
Yeah. Let's just skip it.
All right. yeah, I don't care. I mean, like, I don't know how to say that. PSAs never worked, you know? Like, PSAs don't really work, too, on top of that. You know, the G.I. Joe is the only thing that comes to my head right now. But, like, did they ever, like, after school specials, did I ever teach anyone anything? Does this kind of stuff ever work?
Well, the problem with PSAs and back in the day is that they were so vague. It was like, don't do drugs, but they never explained what a drug was. Like, I could have encountered a drug and not known it was a drug because no one ever explained to me what a drug was. Like, is it a pill?
That's the salaciousness. That's what I'm talking about when I say I don't like drug stories or sex stories, because it's so... If they tell you what it is, everyone's going to go, oh, really? Like, it's so funny. Oh, they said, you know, like, there's something there that really gets to me. And the sex stuff, too. What kind of sex stuff? You know?
But I don't think there's anything wrong with flashing the suicide prevention hotline number as they went to commercial. I think that's, it might catch one person, and that's
good. Does it?
I think it might.
Okay.
I think it might be good, especially you have to put yourself in the shoes of, like, being, like, 15, you know? And maybe you're an abusive family, or, you know, maybe there's a lot of shit going on. And to know that there's a number you can call, or to be reminded that there's a number you can call, I think,
okay.
I don't think it's such a bad thing.
You know what? You're making me go here. Now, kids not included in this conversation. Why is it, what is so bad about suicide? Why are you being kept alive against your will?
Right.
And why is medication, Pfizer, all the big pharma stuff, why is that better? What is Americans' neurotic need to, like, make guilting people into living?
Well, it's a neoliberal thing. It's you can't have your workforce dying on you. You need to keep means of production going.
But, okay, that is big picture, and people are going to shit on us for, like, looking at that. But, like, what is it? What? Why?
Well, I just answered it.
But that is big picture. Why do you want someone who doesn't want to live alive? And why is being on medication every day and stuff that will, like, give you cancer and kill you slowly better? Like, I've had friends commit suicide, and maybe I was alone in it, but I'm like, if that's what they wanted, why are we forcing anything else? Why is everyone talking about, like, oh, you know, maybe some people do want to live. Caitlin, you're quiet. Tell me why. I don't want to keep going because I know it's insulting. Is it insulting? I don't want it to be insulting. I want to ask a legitimate question.
I don't think it's insulting. I think it's just, like, I know why people, not just Craig's big picture of, like, yes, obviously, that's why, like, companies and capitalism cares about it. I think why most people care if somebody they know commits suicide is because that you often feel like it's through things, like, their perception of things that maybe was wrong, or, you know what I mean, when somebody thinks, like, they're so depressed, so they don't see another angle, but maybe, like, you know, they're not necessarily thinking in a way that is accurate to their life and portrayal, and also because it impacts you. You know what I mean? That, like, you have lost somebody that you wanted to be there, that, like, you were close to. And it's kind of the same thing with, like, I mean, if somebody dies a natural death, you have the same sort of feeling, right, of just being, like, you never get to see that person or speak to them again, and that's, like, the big loss, right? That, like, they're just not in your life anymore.
That's selfish.
Yes. And I agree with that, because I've never understood funerals. Like, I have never gone to a funeral, even though I've had people die in my life. So, because I think it just seems very selfish to me to go and talk about somebody, but the person's not there. Like, funerals should happen before they die.
Yeah, I agree with that. Funerals should totally happen before you die. No one will come see you. No one will spend 5 minutes to, like, get in there. You know, there's so many times when I've been like, oh, this old friend who lives 20 minutes away, all of a sudden, you know, can't meet up. But they would totally come to my funeral. Don't come to my funeral if you're not coming to see me, like, normally. You know, it really, like, kind of annoys me. That means that's apart from.
But you have, I mean, look, I think the rules are different for age groups. Like, if you're young and suicidal, you want to stop that person because chances are they're going to become unsuicidal as they grow up.
Yeah, age is different. Like, I would never think that of, like, a 20-year-old or below. But then if it's a cry for, like, he's saying that this was a cry for help because things definitely changed. That's not what I'm saying in general.
Yeah, I think you've made your point.
All right. Well, I wish one of you two was like, oh, no, suicide is the worst. So I could be like,
you're
why?
Not going to get that from me.
I know. I've had people try to get sympathy out of me saying, I remember I had an ex, the one not the normal one we talk about, the other one we talk about, who was trying to get me to be sympathetic to him, like trying to get me to go like, oh, poor baby. And he said, I like the idea of suicide. It just means like I have a way out. And he really wanted like sympathy and stuff. And I was like, I agree with you. And I, you know, he was pissed that I agreed with him.
Yeah, it's probably not what he's looking for.
Yeah.
I imagine that relationship didn't last.
Yeah, it didn't last. Of course not. Here I am. Okay.
Sorry. Relationships last except for the one you're in. I say that all the time.
Well, why would you keep looking for the thing, you know? Oh, it's always in the last place you look. Well, yeah, you wouldn't look after that. What does that mean?
Okay, so we're not going to talk about the lie detector test because we've had many moments to talk about it and we keep side converting.
Craig, so I'm going to do what Caitlin does where she just goes, oh yeah, I'm talking about it, and I'm going to let Caitlin talk about it.
Well, we're getting long here. Should we just cut to the fashion roundup and
no, let finished? Caitlin talk about it. She can
sacrifice. There's not we've been that recording much in for there. Like
okay, all right.
Sorry.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say is that I appreciated when Riley said, JoJo was like, I'm sure you do this with your clients all the time. And he was like, actually, no, I don't. Yeah. Because I would never recommend that my clients do this. They're very inaccurate. And I was like, exactly, because they're bullshit. Thank you for saying it to their faces, Riley.
Not only was it bullshit, but the setup they had was like some complete simulation. There are no colors, light bulbs. Yeah. There's no the like heart, like the it looked like a superimposed picture on their laptop of like a heart.
Exactly. It was like a Mac, like a USB port version of a lie detector test.
It was basically like a heart monitor, and then the production team just chooses when they think you're lying or not, and they press a button to put the color on. So there's like, no, it's even more fake than a regular lie detector test.
It was like straight from a cartoon. Like someone just got all the real things that a cartoon would look like, you know,
like light bulbs with colors. It would have been way more fun if they had like a legitimate lie detector person there.
Yeah, that's the number one thing. They don't have JoJo Fletcher is not a legitimate lie detector. Like they get training.
I mean, part of me thought like maybe this is a product placement. Maybe someone is marketing a plug and play lie detector test.
No. It's like, oh, you think it's like a kid's toy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a toy, no. But maybe it works. I don't know.
they actually do make a toy version of that already, Craig.
What?
And it doesn't work is the real thing, because the real thing doesn't even work. So it's whatever. But yeah, that's the only real thing I wanted to say about them, is like, these are all bullshit. And they just did it as a way of being like, they know the things that these men have done. Mm. And so they explicitly ask the questions to either get them to lie so they can push the red button, or to get them to say something that maybe they weren't going to say yet. And they'll be like, oh, truth on that one. Like, yes, Zach has cheated in sixth grade.
Yeah, in sixth grade.
Or they take all the entrance interviews from like months and months ago and frame them in a way so that, and then they just, you know, they just turn on the red button because that's not like they knew how they were going to answer.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what they did. It's like they pulled the things that they knew about the men that might be interesting for TV and just like attached it to a lie detector fake setup.
That's so annoying. Yeah,
we can move on. Bennett comes back. That's the big thing. Big story of this episode at the very end, which is like literally gave me chills. And she leaves the cocktail thing, and she doesn't give the rose to anybody because she needs more time to decide, et cetera, et cetera. And she opens up the gate, and there's just like a shadow that says, "Hello, Tayshia."
I kind of like that.
And it's Bennett. He's come back, hey. And he wants to come back in, and he says he's in love with her.
Right. We did a whole episode titled Love versus In Love.
Yes. And I think like this is also why I hate Bennett, is this whole conversation, right? This is also what I'm thinking about when we talked about it at the top of the show, is that the way that Bennett tells Tayshia that he's in love with her is like the most craven bid to be back on TV I've ever seen. And yet she says in her interview, she believes he means it. She hasn't heard that in so long, even though last week Easy said he was in love with her and she was like, I don't like it, so you should go. But like, I think it seems like she's going to let him back in the house. And I am just sitting on my couch watching this being like, no, why? Ew, stop it. Get help. No.
I was like, that. What seriously went through my mind was that the producers told him to do something. He got cut because of it. And he thinks that's not fair. So he's back.
Yes. I mean, they're letting him come back because they put him up to the gift setup and helped him put it together and all of that, right? Then he got eliminated because it was just like the cherry on top of the, like, what the hell, Bennett? What is that? You know? And now he gets to come back. I mean, they even did it with the fake lie detector question where it's like, does she regret eliminating anyone? Oh, yeah. And she says no. And then they're like, that's a lie, even though they're just saying whether it's a lie or not. And like, Brendan is like, oh, it's Bennett that she's talking about. And I was like, yeah, they were setting up this whole thing to have like a dramatic moment. But I'm like, okay, she's not ending up with Bennett either. One. Two, this guy sucks. Three, no, he's not in love with her. Four, he has no emotion in his delivery and just keeps on making these crazy ass faces as he's looking at her. And I'm just like, no, you're a murderer. Please leave.
She's just trying to be nice.
I think EZR likes Bennett.
I don't really like him, Bennett. I just think he's not like, he hasn't said or done anything egregious. Like, in my eyes, he's been totally calm and like, yes, I know, a serial killer.
So if Leo Patrick, and Bennett were in a room together, who would you choose?
I definitely do not have any, I do not think Bennett is not my type of attractive at all.
Unlike Leo.
I guess my number one guy, if I was me, Tayshia, right now, Jason and Brendan.
I don't even remember who Jason is.
The wall
he's
breaking.
He's the football player.
The football breaking stuff guy who went like Claire's not going to be here. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, that guy. The guy who lost 300 pounds because he was a lineman. Yeah.
That guy. Yeah. I just feel like
and Brendan are
everything
like
about Bennett rubs me the wrong way. But in that scene, right? As she's like, I got to think about this. So he's going to leave while she thinks about it. He tries to kiss her twice. Even after the first time, she's like, yeah, we're not doing that right now. Because like, I'm very confused. And then he goes in again. And I'm like, dude, no. Like, she's not going to kiss you because she just sent you home. And then you reappeared. And like, huh? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I hate him.
Weird. Yeah, you hate Bennett.
Like, TLDR, I hate Bennett so much.
Okay. All right. Fashion roundup.
Oh, okay. I thought we were skipping it. Fine. Craig wants to do it. Sorry, Craig. I put him in different places.
This is the Bachelor Roundup.
Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Okay, I'm banning conversation about not wearing socks.
I like the no sock look.
It doesn't bother me, honestly. I know it bothers some people, but...
Okay, so let's leave it at that.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay. What did you think of Tayshia's white dress with the huge long tail?
Oh, that's on my list. That was on my list to talk about, Craig.
Beautiful toilet paper. I love it.
So, did you realize it's a romper with a removable high-low train?
Yes! That is such a cool look. Sorry. Go ahead, fashion people. I think it looks rad.
See,
I love
she
it.
Came out in it, I thought it was a dress and that it was like a mini skirt in the front instead of the shorts. I didn't notice it was shorts till later on. And I was like, oh, that's the kind of wedding dress you wear when you're on Love Island. Like, that's the look. I liked it better when I knew it was a romper with a removable train than I would like it as a full just dress, if that makes sense. But it's a bonkers look. Craig, what did you think?
Really? You don't think it's beautiful?
Well, I hate strapless stuff to begin with. Oh, okay. I don't wear it. Far. Some people can, that's fine, but not for me. And I also don't love the high-low. I like high-low hems in general. I don't love it in the big, floofy wedding dress style.
Oh, okay.
I don't
know
what a high-low hem is.
It's when the front is shorter than the back.
I love that. Craig, did you notice Vanna White was wearing something similar right before? did you know? She had like and Pat Sajak made a comment about it. And I was like, and then I saw the same, like, oh, that thing must be in. I love it. I love high
to low.
It's
like totally a thing. And I do normally like it on some stuff. It just, yeah, the fact that it looked like a wedding dress, I think is what put me off it. It's like a wedding romper, basically. Mm-hmm. And I would like a wedding romper better if it was a full-on romper without a detachable skirt. Right. If it's not for wedding and not in a like floofy white thing, I'd like it even better. And if it wasn't strapless, I'd like it even more.
I guess I'm neutral. I have no opinion.
I just want to say that I guess like I didn't take into account the fact that it's white and strapless and all this stuff. But in terms of like a high-low thing that has a lot of floof, and I love it. I love that shit. Like, put me in that. But, you know, it's not my body type, actually, but I still love it. It's beautiful.
So I wrote down a specific exchange between Ben and Tayshia because it was exactly for Fashion Roundup. It says they're going to the evening portion of their date, and Ben says, those are my favorites so far. And Tayshia goes, what, these shoes? And Ben goes, people get so wowed by your dresses, but your shoes are always on point.
Was it Ben that pointed out that they were wearing similar shoes?
No.
Someone pointed that out.
Sneakers. There was another
the same shoes.
Yeah, okay. That was a different thing, I think.
And what were her shoes?
I enjoyed, when Ben said it was like, they were heels that had sort of a strappy, glittery strap going around the side. They were pretty cute, actually. I looked at them after he said that, and I was like, those are cute. I like those. But I also just liked that Ben's small talk is being like, people are wowed by your dresses, but your shoe game is great.
Well, a compliment of a woman on her shoes, that's a good tactic.
Really? I think it's like, I didn't make it. I just picked it. Is that
women take their shoes seriously.
Yeah, well, they're saying you have like a good picker for shoes. You know what I mean?
I feel like when people compliment my shoes, it's like the last thing. They're trying to find something to compliment. And they're just like, oh nice shoes. Yeah, sorry.
No, I mean, I only compliment clothes or shoes if I mean it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't say it unless I'm like, no, I like that. I might want to wear that on me.
I've noticed in the past 10 years, it's like a thing to find something to compliment about. This is not a local thing. This is everywhere else I've been. People go, oh, I like your shoe. Like, you know, cool shoes. Just shut up. Leave me alone. Don't look at me. I don't know. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Only a few other things to bring up. Brendan continues, or as Brendo, as he's sometimes called by the men on the show, I guess, which I like. He continues to wear turtlenecks with suits, and I continue to enjoy the look on him.
Yeah.
He wore the cocktail party for the rose ceremony. He was wearing like a blue sweatery kind of turtleneck that had a black stripe on the neck with his suit. And I was just like, it's a look. It's a bold look, and I like that that's what he goes for. And Damar also wore a turtleneck to that his last rose ceremony.
He's gorgeous. Like, the more I look at him, Craig, is that man not beautiful? Brendan?
Brendan. Yeah. He's the guy with the scruffy, like, he has like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, and like a sort of of hair, like a, yeah, like a dollop of hair.
Hair on top.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
I think he's very cute.
Yeah, he is, like, I bet you in real life he's like breathtaking. He just, it's hard to tell.
Mm. Yeah, and I like him in general. Because he looks cute and he seems sweet. You know, so I'm like, oh, nice guy. Seems like a good person. I like that about him. The only other thing I think that
maybe he'll win.
Was that, maybe he'll win.
You. As Tayshia. Yeah, 100%.
That, what Bennett wore with his suit at the beginning for his 2-on-1 date, where when they were showing the long shots, I thought he was wearing a pair of little white Keds with a gray suit. They were white sneakers, but they were not Keds. They're some other fancier version that don't have like as rounded of a toe cap or whatever as Keds do. But since then, all I can think about is Bennett wearing tiny white Keds with a suit. It was a terrible look. Terrible combo.
Looked cute.
Hated it.
I loved it. Craig, would you ever, that look, like specifically that suit color, that like light blue, and then the Keds, I don't know. I thought it worked, I guess, is the word. Craig, did it work?
I mean, I like it when, I mean, I don't wear suits really, so I don't put my money where my mouth is, but I like it when people try new things or, you know, go off, you know, not just wearing the traditional colors and stuff.
I mean, but Caitlin,
I feel like
your
he's
point,
not
like a Miami,
trying a new thing.
Yeah.
That's Zach's thing, wearing sneakers with suits. That's his move.
No, but it's like it's a very specific like boat look or like a, you know, businessman in Miami look, which I think is adorable.
Yeah.
I don't think it was businessman Miami to me. I feel like he's not pulling it off. Also, Easier, I hate to say this about you, but you have bad taste in men.
I know that. Like I told you, I don't like Bennett. I just like that outfit. And I can't, I don't have like that background. But yeah, I love Jason, which is total red flag central. But I also love Brendan, which doesn't seem to be red flaggy.
No, I mean, I like Brendan a lot. I feel like of these men, I like Brendan. I like Ivan. I don't really get the Zach thing still, but he's fine. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't really understand the attraction, but there's nothing like horrible about
it. Wait,
him.
what other men, just because I'm defending Bennett's, I think that's a cute look. That's why? Yeah. Craig reacted, and then it made me think I should react harsher than I was reacting.
I mean, I'm joking, but yes, I feel like your defense of Bennett leads me to be like, this combined with the Jason thing and how you still liked Peter Pilot so much. Bad taste in men.
It's hard. This is like, you know, it's like when you go on a trip and you pick your crush, like I have a pool of five, you know, put me out in the real world. And then I'd probably pick a bad guy too. But like, you know,
I mean, I'd be much more concerned. Something like Blake is my favorite guy on this show. Like, I'd be like, what the hell? No, like how?
I don't think anyone is saying Blake is their favorite guy. Maybe somewhere someone's like a Blake stan.
His like the loudspeaker orgasm that Blake did several episodes now has like haunted me. Sometimes I'll just like, sure he'll be on the show and I'll hear his like light Canadian accent doing what he thinks is sexy talk and like humping a podium, and I'm like, why is this in my brain? I hate it. Like, get out of there.
Ew.
I mean, that look, he did the clay dick, and I'm just like, Tayshia, how have you kept this man after that ceremony when you could have easily chosen like Damar, an actual attractive man, to stay? So if you have no connection with either of them, like, just choose the cuter one. It's not hard. And like that, now she's gonna do the 1-on-1 date with him, and I'm like, can you just like cut him at the beginning of the date? Like, this isn't gonna work out.
The only reason they're keeping him around is because they built him up from Claire. Like, he already has a personality that they fleshed out, and they don't want to do it with anyone else that we haven't heard from, you know.
I guess that makes sense, but I feel like I think that Blake and Claire make so much more sense together than Blake and Tayshia as a possibility. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I'm like, oh, that guy with Claire, I could see it. It would make sense to me. That guy with Tayshia, like, no. I'm putting my odds in Las Vegas or whatever it is that Bennett said. Like, it's not happening.
Well, that's why we know that this kind of this whole season, I mean, is just a mess, but it's also like, you know, they are, I don't say they're using Tayshia, but Tayshia's being used and she's allowing it because these aren't her choices. Half of them aren't her choices.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Proof in point.
It's like.
Well, we managed to record long, even though the episode had nothing. We always do that.
Craig thought we were going to get out of here in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Craig's like, I got to do my other podcast. What are you rushing to? We're in a pandemic. Stay home, Craig.
I stand while I podcast, and it takes a lot of energy.
Oh, well, you have mentioned that before. And I feel like, you know, you might want to alternate sitting and standing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's hard to maintain focus. Mm-hmm. So that's all.
There's this underground world of mediocre versions of horrible artists that we keep getting, that I keep like
finding out. Oh, the musical about. Guest?
Yeah. Remember the, did you guys see the movie Us? Spoiler alert. This reminds me of that. I'm like, why are there horrible versions of the thing that's already horrible in real life?
Are you talking about the singer?
Josh Wilkinson or something?
Yeah, we already have, like, you know, I don't mind Josh Groban and Michael Bublé, but then to have, like, the, like, crap, like, Ed Sheeran.
The knockoff, like, version
Have you heard of this guy?
Never. And I don't care. And I'm sick of, like, them going, and here's No Name Somebody, you know, like, as if we're supposed to be like, oh, my God.
I thought that the whole reason we had Listen to Your Heart was that we could just replace these no-name people with the no-name people we actually now know and have a connection to. But instead, they only had Chris and Brie, and they haven't brought anybody else on yet. And I'm like, why aren't you, I don't care if they're still in a couple or not, bring them on as a solo. We already know them.
Yeah. Yeah. That made sense. Their empire is crumbling before they even build it. Because they're stupid and not good at it.
Well, I'm curious to meet their parents next week. I'm curious how they're going to do it. You know, they got a quarantine and whatnot.
That's true.
So I know the answer to that, but you might not want to know. It's like, it's not hugely spoilery, but, you know, spoilery.
Go ahead.
What? All right.
It's not like a major spoiler. They bring the parents to them, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. So it's like they stay in trailers or something, I think is what they were saying. So they, like, they must... Many of these parents must have already been coming or already be quarantined or whatever to do this, which is
all
like
six parents or seven.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if some parents didn't want to come because it is sort of, it's a gigantic ask in this time to be like, do you want to quarantine and then risk traveling and then like quarantine again to be on TV for maybe 2 seconds talking about yourself marrying this woman and you don't even know if he's going to marry her. So,
right.
Well, normally it's four sets of parents or whatever, four families, and then it's two when they meet Tayshia.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not like a lot. I mean, it is a lot, but it's not too much.
And they're coming to you normally, like you're not traveling to them, so it's more of an inconvenience, I guess. But I'm more looking forward to when Tayshia's family meets whichever men get to that point, because Tayshia's dad is... As I remember from Colton season, and you probably do too, Tayshia's dad does not like the idea of the Bachelor franchise at all.
Mm-hmm.
He said you can't microwave a relationship, and that's why this won't work. And he's not wrong at all. So
yeah, but he's in on the whole influencer. Like he sees her making money off of it,
right.
And he sees her living well. I'm sure. So he's probably like, I got to keep up this like. Hard-boiled persona to, like, you know, I think it's all at this point. They're all in on it. Her whole family's like,
I think he's in on it, but that he's also probably one of those dads who is, like, doesn't really like anybody who dates his kids anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
he's like, oh, this guy, you sure?
There are some dads that have straight up decided not to come on, and I think that's, like, the real that, Whereas if he's deciding to come on.
Very real version of being like, I hate this, both the idea of this and possibly this man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's, it's just, it possibly an act. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Craig, now you can
see. Yeah, let's end it now, please. Follow us on social media, please. Leave us a review on Apple Podcast app. Next week is our 99th episode.
And, Craig's been standing up for 99 podcasts. He's so tired.
I learned it from co-host Chris.
It's been 99 episodes.
Co-host Chris would stand, and so I kind of picked it up from him.
You're not looking at him.
We podcasted in the same place a couple times.
Oh, okay.
From when we were live from North Hollywood.
Yeah, just two men standing up podcasting.
Nothing weird there.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm saying that there's... Okay, well, you can take it any way you want, but I'm saying, like, just the way it sounds, you guys are just hanging out in a room.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we did.
Cool, dude.
Our longtime listeners, I remember that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cats. Okay, bye, Chris.
See you later.
Bye.